What's going on, everyone? Welcome to the Seeking Excellence Podcast. Today, I have my favorite person in the world with me. Her name's Emily Crankfield. Hey. How you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you?
You say hi to the world?
I did say that. I was looking at the camera. Oh, okay. I was told strictly to look at the camera
before. We're supposed to do a lock-in on the camera.
I was looking at the camera, but then I couldn't help myself. So
and then we shift to each other. We rehearsed it. I don't know how
slightly
well
slightly early.
I'll be reviewing the tape. That is for sure.
I was looking at the camera.
Amazing. How's it going?
I do well. How are you?
Good. Do you like, good. Are you feeling, you know, I think we're making a lot of progress
on
the setup.
A lot of progress on the setup.
Had my first guest interview is live on YouTube with Alessandro. And I think that it was solid. Definitely the best thing I'd ever put out on camera with a guest. But this is another setup. I kind of got the two camera thing going now. Mm-hmm. And so I think eventually, obviously, the optimal is when you have the third camera. So you have like the group shot
Then
you can go into the individuals.
Yeah.
I don't know how people do that. That's got to be like a video editing thing. So that's going to be a future Celine problem or task to kind of figure that out. But you've been requested, I think, because you have a nice face that people wanted to see the episodes with you on camera.
Thank you.
So yeah.
This is great.
Men and women alike.
There you go. Thank you, guys.
Truth, beauty, and goodness. Yeah. I'll spit the truth. You be the beauty.
Ayo.
And the goodness.
And the goodness.
Yeah.
I can say some truth, too. Maybe.
I'll just be ugly.
And your beauty.
So she's going to be all three today. And I'll just be here to facilitate that. Amazing. So, yeah. So we're going to release this in 2024. So I was going to say, the current things happenings in the world and holidays and all that isn't as relevant, but exciting year for us. Obviously, last time we podcasted together, we talked about birth, delivery, pregnancy, and all that stuff. So this is kind of the next gap. I don't know, after this, I guess we'll just have to wait like 8 months to record again because we won't have anything to talk about. So
anything like new. I mean, we'll have things to talk about.
I know, I was just kidding.
Hopefully no like large life events.
That's when we can move on to reaction videos and things like that. Yeah, then I got, that's a whole other thing I gotta freaking figure out. But very exciting stuff. And so you and I were going to talk about today what life was like having a kid, getting used to having a child, postpartum for you, postpartum for me, what we learned so far about being a mother, being a father, marriage with a child.
Interesting.
Indeed.
An interesting time.
Yeah. So where do you want to start? You want to talk a little bit about postpartum and kind of coming home from the hospital?
Yeah. Coming home from the hospital. Man, I have to like bring myself back to that whole experience. I feel like it's just like this really surreal thing. People always joke about that, right? That when you leave the hospital with the baby, they're like, am I actually supposed to be like, are you okay? You know, looking at the nurses at the hospital and being like, can you leave me with this baby? You know, kind of thing. I feel like
should
that's
you?
Like, should you? Yeah. Can you, I guess, but like, should you?
Yeah.
It's kind of crazy to think about that. Just like how little experience I feel like both of us had. You know?
Yeah.
I think there was a moment maybe right before we had him or like in the hospital even being like, I don't know how to care for a baby. Like I've never cared for a baby before, you know,
right.
Like especially just like by myself and stuff. And now it just seems like so second nature, which is so beautiful to think of like how it is part of our nature. Right. And especially like moms and different things like that.
Yeah.
I just caught on so quickly personally. But yeah, I'm trying to think of like those early days, just trying to like survive basically. But there's a crazy grace that comes through it all. Wouldn't you agree? Like just.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Like, especially like of energy when.
Yes.
You have.
I think that that was true for the first like 3 weeks.
Yeah. 3 weeks.
I felt like magical. I was like, everybody always says you're so tired. And I'd been tired before, you know, I've done some army training and things like that, that brought me some pretty serious fatigue. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to be able to deal with this. This is going to be fine. Like I know how to dig deep. Right. And I felt for the first few weeks, like I was like, I'm that guy. Yeah. Like I felt like a savage. I was like, I got, you know, felt really good about myself. And then it kind of started going down.
Right.
I hit a wall.
You have like early adrenaline, right?
Yeah, that I think keeps that's you right. Going,
probably, yeah.
It's just like it's almost a honeymoon phase in a sense, you know, of just like the graces, the excitement, the newness of it all. And you're just like, man, this little guy, you're like, I'd get up for you any hour of the night.
Of course.
You need me to get up?
Yeah.
You just be held?
Yeah.
I can't be mad about that. And then you hit a point where I'm like, if you do not go back to sleep and stop screaming, I'm going to jump off the roof.
Yeah.
And that becomes a very real option.
And you hit that point a little earlier, much earlier than I do. I did. I guess I still even like wake up with him.
Yeah.
Pretty much every night.
Absolutely.
At least once, just once these days. Hope, praise the Lord.
Yeah.
Sometimes never, which is great. But yeah, it was really interesting. We've reflected on that. Do you want to talk about when you talked about like your reflections on how I was just okay kind of being around the house?
Oh, yeah.
So like quickly wanted to leave.
Yeah, I think that's part of it too, right? So yeah. the mindset that, or the reality that like I got over it quicker. That's right. Like I hit the point where I was like, I'm over this. This is less exciting.
Like the opportunity to leave and not having to leave the house. Like,
yeah. Like all that was like fun for a minute, but yeah, I got tired and I was just like, man, I need to get out of here. And I still feel that sometimes now, you know, he's almost 8 months old and I'm still sometimes just like, after a weekend when we are like very homebound,
yeah.
You know,
yeah,
where I'm just like, man, I'm excited to even just like think, you know, like even just to get out and just like have time. Me and a friend of mine, I forget who I was talking about it with this past week, we're talking about that of just like the sacrifice of losing your ability to just like do what you want to do.
Yeah.
You know, and he was saying how like that he had a weekend or whatever with his daughter. And he's like, yeah, you know, I realized like I was just like, man, I can't do anything that I want to do. Like, yeah. I'm just like so locked down, you know. And then you have like you can talk about this more, like the stay at home mom struggle of like even when they're napping, you can't still go do things. Yeah. You're still limited sound wise, you know, our house setup and things like that. You can't be super loud. So there's still only so much you can really do even then. And it's like, what do I do to avoid losing my mind?
Yeah.
You know, but then he was pointing out how like sometimes then when he had the next weekend or whatever, like 2 weeks later, he's home by himself for like a full day. And he's like, I just sat around the house still. But he's like, there's something about knowing you have the freedom if you want to go do something else,
yeah,
that you could go do something else. Right. You know what I mean?
Or even just like how hard it was to do anything. Like I remember just being like getting him in and out of the car seat so many times and everything like that. But I feel like for me, I personally, and we can get into a little more of the like suffering that came with postpartum, but I was really struggling kind of emotionally just to like, I kind of joke, I was just like really down on myself for a while until the one day I just decided to like take him to Target, you know, and like go to Target and just like break the, you know, chain and like, I'm going to go out and go do things with him. And once I started getting like more used to that, I just like felt like it like breathed a lot of life back into me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
absolutely.
I feel like for a while there, you kind of like, and you are, you're supposed to rest. It's like good for your body, to heal and to have, you know, they say like a few days in the bed and, or, you know, just on the couch or different things like that, really let your body heal. But then at a certain point I needed to be doing things again, you know, and just kind of taking him out and getting back out there and stuff like that. So, Yeah.
You got to kind of, break the seal in that way where you have to get it into your mind that you can just go do things.
Right.
That I'm not necessarily totally limited by this.
Right.
And that's such a challenging thing, you know, and that's something that we talked about extensively or disagreed on at times too, like even before having kids, of just like how much does it change your life? And you have these people who live in two extremes. One is like, it doesn't have to change your life at all. And they just find babysitters, nannies, daycare, whatever. And they just go about their normal life, basically.
Yeah.
But have a child that they take care of sometimes. And then you have other people. Yeah. You have other people who are just like, this baby's life. Like, I'm not going to do anything. And I've known people. I mean, we've known people that have chosen both of those paths. And you can, I don't necessarily think, I mean, I think that, you know, the former is a little bit, you can get into some immorality for sure. Like neglecting the child.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that all of those things. Maybe we'll get into some like daycare and stuff like that today. Yeah. But that's not my point with that. My point is that, I mean, I've known, especially like kids, I think this is very common for people who have kids in high school or college and things like that, where they still want to have that like young adult freedom and experience.
Yeah.
That I've seen a lot of my family members and stuff who have had kids out of wedlock that have just kind of like gone about their lives so they don't have a kid, which is not good. And then you have the other extreme. The other extreme, I'm not saying is immoral, but I do think that it's not something that's ever been appealing to me. I can tell you that. And it's not something that I think has to be the case where you feel like you can't do anything anymore, up to and including like you can't read or you can't go to the gym or you can't make time for prayer, right? And just like let the kid kind of play by themselves, you know, or do some of this stuff while they're napping. And it's like some things you have to make sacrifices for sure. And it might get harder to do those things, but I think a lot of people just give up on those because, I mean, some people stop going to mass, right? Because they're like, this is just too hard to do. And we have sports, or you can think of a lot of different things where you kind of take that mindset where you just let the kids like what you deem to be the well-being of the kids, like that just supersedes everything in life.
Right. And then you're just like, yeah, I don't know. I can't imagine it consuming that way. And I don't know if it's good for the kid as well, you know, like they say, yeah. Like it's really good for him to learn to play on his own and independently and different things like that. And to like have a little bit of independence from me specifically in play and whatnot at this point. But I feel like we found a good, and you talk about these two extremes, like virtue is always in the middle of extremes. So
sure. Yep.
Like it's good to kind of find somewhere in between where there are certain, we realize there are certain limitations to our life now, you know, and we have mm-hmm. to like we can't leave him for that. We don't, well, we can't, but we also don't want to leave him for like long periods of time.
Right. Yeah.
Like right now, yesterday I worked on a very intense spreadsheet for
yeah.
our SEEK schedule, since we both have to work the SEEK conference and we're taking Jordan.
Yep.
And we like could leave him back, but I just like can't even fathom leaving him back at this time, you know, of his life.
Yeah.
And so he's coming and we're going to figure it out.
We'd have to be doing something a lot more awesome than going to SEEK to leave him on for 4 days.
I true. Yeah. Like go on like a vacation.
Yeah.
Yeah. Working SEEK.
SEEK would to, not like, be, on, yeah, like, would not be working.
Yeah. Yeah, for so sure. He's coming with us, but,
we're not even going to really be together.
Yeah.
So
exactly. So it's going to be an interesting thing, but just like trying to work those things out, you know, like there's certain limitations there, but,
and I think when you put good boundaries too within marriage, within your workplace, right? Yeah. Like you can have where like, I'm not going to be working at SEEK nearly as much as I was last year because right. I'm going to have him, or if I am, I'm going to have him with me.
Yeah.
You know, for some of the shifts and things yeah. like that. And that's fine, but I'm going to have to be back in the room more right. than I was last year.
Right.
You know, which is almost yeah. not at all.
It's going to be really interesting. I was yeah. thinking that as well. Just like what a different experience it's going to be.
Yeah.
A huge change. Like you used to just like go to the conference center and just like
be there forever. 14 hours a day. Yeah. yeah.
This year is not going to be, mm-mm. but kind of nice. So yeah, it's interesting. It's interesting. But it's also in your reflection to like I, and this is back and forth, right? You kind of reflected that it didn't seem to bother me as much that I was with him, right? Because
yeah, or just like being natural, home.
Like
yeah.
being with him and whatnot.
You didn't have as strong of an inclination, I wouldn't say, to get out of the house as I did.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, because even like running errands or things like that, like I was like, I have to yeah, leave like this building.
Yeah, yeah.
Walking just the true. Dog even.
And I'm probably more of a homebody too yeah. in some ways. And but there's like that. But then there's also, I recently talked to some, we were telling a young couple about this a week ago. Mm-hmm. This is last Wednesday, of just the resentment that kind of starts to build up at the beginning of
yeah.
all of that too, especially resentment within like, especially the mom's heart, I feel like is more common in some senses
yeah.
of like, oh, well, like your freedom, my freedom is completely taken away. Right. In like some senses of like,
yeah.
Like I always think about this. I'm still breastfeeding. And
you really can't be gone.
I can't be gone.
Yeah.
And what's also funny is I was telling somebody this the other day is like, I'm like, even when I'm off the clock, right? Like mm-hmm. if somebody's babysitting me, I'm still like on the clock in the sense of I'm still producing milk. Like as long as I'm breastfeeding, I'm still,
right.
like I still have to like pump or do something like that. Like there's limitations to these things or be in pain or something, you know, like
yeah, constantly those are your options.
I'm separated from my baby. And, yeah, I just thought that was really interesting. And so there's like this like temptation to hold in resentment towards like Nathan or husband and different things like that. You know, I know a lot of people have gone through this of like, oh, like I wish I could just go and do whatever, you know, I wish I could just do this, whatever. But it's just a temptation, right? We have to like learn to, and I'm still working on it, but I'm still, you have to learn to really just see like, the beauty behind what you're like your tie
yeah,
to the baby and everything exactly. like that. And then also the beauty behind like your husband going out and trying to provide and trying to do other things to help you out in other ways and whatnot. So yeah, that's a common, I think, temptation, especially in new mothers.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think what's interesting, I think, about a lot of this, right? And just kind of this modern day phenomena, you think about how interesting it is. You have like moms who deal with this struggle, right? This tension that you're balancing between where you want to get back out into the world. Mm-hmm. You know, I think especially those who have been like really trained and conditioned to be like kind of career oriented. Mm-hmm. But it is interesting. We've seen a lot of people, and I've heard a lot of stories of people who have been kind of career focused and then have a baby and then kind of like their world's kind of rocked. Mm-hmm. And I've heard some in the opposite way, mm-hmm. but usually it's, I thought I was never going to be a stay at home and now I'm like dreading going back to work. Right. And I want to get into that a little bit more in a second. But one thing I think is interesting about it is that shift has happened in women where I think like back, you think 200 years ago, the woman just stayed home. She was probably already home even before having a kid. So right. it was just like, this is what I'm going to do. And you're kind of used to and kind of in this mode already of the husband leaving and you taking care of the things at the house, him taking care of the things at work.
Right.
Now you have this totally interesting balance of like paternity leave and other stuff like that, that brings in this whole new mix. And I think it's interesting how just so much of that has changed. And even like, I think a lot of dads now, I think like our generation of dads, like millennial dads, I think don't get enough credit for how much different we are than like generations that came before us, you know? And I'm not even saying that to like toot my own horn necessarily, but just like millennial dads in general do tend to be much more hands-on, much more actively involved. And there has been cultural things and things like paternity leave that have assisted that and helped with that. But I think it's important to recognize that that's the case, right? Yeah. That has been a big shift. And there's this difficulty within that, I think, as a mother, even when you're choosing to be stay at home or kind of pull back at work, there's just kind of this. And I think like if you remember, we talked a little bit about, we haven't read the book. There's like a book and a game that you basically play with called Fair Play, where you basically like give point systems to different things. I think in the woman's mind, the question always has to be like, how much worth in the home is providing? And the husband has to be thinking about like how much worth in the home is the things that the woman does, mm-hmm. right? And then you have to have those conversations to see like what feels like it's fair.
Right.
Right. But if I think what's interesting now is you have this, and this I think also equally applies, maybe even more important for couples where the wife does go back to work full time. Because then if she's still breastfeeding or pumping or doing things like that, like it's very easy to be like very lopsided, or you at least have to have some type of serious discussion about like chores and things like that, like cooking dinner, who's going to do what, so we can feel like it's somewhat balanced. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's really interesting you say that. As you were talking about that, I just kind of put together, I feel like I think it was my mom that was talking about like my dad didn't have paternity leave or something like that.
Oh, for sure didn't.
Yeah, like he like didn't, like she was really on her own and stuff. And he had his own company.
One of my former bosses is like 36 and didn't have paternity leave for five of his kids.
Right. Well, and just like the spirit where when it's like not possible to just kind of like on the mom to just like, let's just do this kind of thing, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I wonder if that has impacted us, like you said, kind of expecting the dad to be home has impacted our spirit of like, I'm just going to get it done myself kind of thing. You know what I mean? Does that make sense? Like generationally, I think for a while, which to a fault, probably in some senses, like moms would just be like, well, I'm just going to like do it. Kind of thing,
yeah,
you know, and just like not, because that's just like all that's available to me,
yeah,
you know what I mean, like absolutely. I wonder, and I feel like that could also be, like I said, to a fault in some
and women
senses.
Just don't communicate which is also part of the problem that exists in the gender differences is that women just expect you to read their minds,
right, so
they
don't.
They're just like, just figure it out or else I'm just gonna do it.
Oh, Nathan,
which is true,
yeah,
that's the thing that happens,
but I'm saying
that's out there in the world.
Dang, you said something else that I wanted to touch on, but this idea of like I feel like I had never kept score in my mind as much as we struggled with after, like, so shortly after having a baby. Yeah. Like keeping score just seemed to be like the biggest temptation.
And you can probably avoid time. you can't fully anticipate how you're gonna feel, right, as a woman until you have the baby.
Yeah.
But you can probably try to figure out a little bit of in postpartum, like, what's it going to look like? Like, is the husband going to cook every meal? You're going to get a lot of meals brought to you. You're going to do dishes. Who's going to do the dishes, etc. I think that's always a really good thing. I'm always pro expectation management. You can revise the plan, but having no plan and no expectations is never good. I don't know that we really talked about it before going home for postpartum. I feel like I just tried to step in where I could, but there is like a certain level of helplessness you feel like as the man.
Yeah.
You know,
especially when you're really like breastfeeding in the early days.
So much. And, he does want you more than me, you know, that's just a reality of it. And so some of that stuff can be tough as the guy, because you're kind of sitting there just like, I mean, through delivery too, right? Like, yeah, you're going through all this pain and experience, and it's like, what can I really do?
For sure.
To like help this.
Yeah.
You know, you just kind of feel helpless.
I was just thinking this to any new parent out there. I guess what I would say is like, there's like the honeymoon phase. And it's funny when you said this of like people bringing you meals, like the honeymoon phase is usually like however long the meal chain seems to go.
Yeah.
Kind of thing. You know what I mean?
Once like, that ends, it gets real.
Yeah. Cause once it ends, you're just like trying to figure, I remember,
shit, we got
to
make dinner.
What are we doing? It was like 6 weeks maybe.
Yeah. We had a pretty good amount of time.
Maybe. Yeah. I don't know. And we had like a lot of leftovers, or people, or my mom would have us over and different things like that. Or we had like DoorDash gift cards. So it took a while before we had to, I remember like making our first meal ourselves.
Do you? I don't remember that. Yeah.
Like very, like, yeah, vaguely. Yeah. But, I remember that moment of just feeling like, oh, meals aren't coming anymore. You know?
Yeah.
But yeah, I think at that point is when things start getting harder, and, yeah, potentially you might have, you know, the end of a maternity leave or different things like that. And when that all kind of starts to hit ahead, I think it gets really,
yeah,
rough there. So
it really gets real.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it is tough. And I mean, keeping score is something that you can struggle with, no matter if you're in, yeah, beginning stages of marriage, could be 50 years into marriage, could, you know, empty nesters, I think, struggle with it. And I think it really does come down to the value you assign to the other people's things and agreeing that you are going to have different roles,
yeah,
and like what those roles are going to be, yeah, what seems like it's fair. Because one thing I always try to remind myself and remind each other is that like neither of us want to switch.
Right.
You know, yeah, like I just always think that I'm like, I would not want to stay at home and work part-time from home and take care of Jordan all day and do laundry and make dinner.
Yeah.
Sounds like a nightmare. You seem fairly happy doing it. You know, much happier than I would be.
I'm pretty happy.
If you had to, especially at this point in your life, figure out how to make as much money as I do and work the amount of hours you'd have to work in order to make that much money.
No.
Very unhappy.
Absolutely.
You know, and that's where you have like the benefits, I feel like, but it does. Yeah. You know, yeah, you're at home. I'm here. It's easy for you to be like, oh, he's just getting to relax at the office, whatever. Yeah, he's sending me chair, reels, you know,
yeah,
sitting in his nice chair. Nobody's bothering him, getting his hair pulled, listening to Jordan squeal all day,
carrying a 20-pound baby nuts, all day,
you know?
Yeah.
And then I can be like, oh, she's just at home playing with the kid. I miss the kid. You know, I wish I could take Luna on a walk right now, all this stuff, you know, and you can just kind of just crap on each other. I feel, yeah, like in each other's absence. And so, yeah, it's, I think, defeating those thoughts too, when they first come up, it's, yeah, like as soon as you start to think that, you, yeah, have to kind of exit out and hit cancel, because you can't,
no,
yeah, you can't be having that.
Absolutely.
Thank, so we had, you had 60 days of maternity leave, and then you had to, well, didn't have to, you elected to go back to work for a month.
I did elect to go back to work for a month.
Talk about that. How was the first day and experience of leaving him behind?
Yeah, I think so. I went back to work. My job at the time, I had a really heavy summer. And so there were two programs that I ran specifically for the summer. And I just knew that they were mostly just in my head. They had one person come in to try and help with the one program, but I just kind of felt like I needed to finish out those programs, you know?
Yeah.
And so,
I think it was a just thing you did.
Yeah. I, you know, by the God's grace, we found other work for me to do from home and to be with Jordan and everything like that. And so I knew I was going to finish out. Really, I only went back to work for like a month, like 5 weeks, maybe 6 weeks.
Yeah. I thought it was like 30 days, 5 weeks,
maybe something like that.
Yeah.
So personally, I think for me, the knowledge that it was like, there's an end in sight made it less emotional, you know, than, yeah, I thought. I didn't really, like, I cried the night before I left. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
Yeah. And then I didn't the next morning. And that's at that, right, point, you know what we haven't talked about was the suffering that happened during maternity leave.
Yeah. I couldn't remember the timeline, but I guess it was during maternity leave.
Because it was during, yeah, because I had like a few doctor's appointments when I got back to work, but like,
that's right,
because,
okay,
of the suffering is what I guess.
So Emily went to the hospital
a couple times,
twice, emergency room visits.
Yeah. It was an interesting time. We'll get to that. But because of that, my mom, there were like multiple like stretches of time that my mom had Jordan. So I feel like, yeah, there's like, in some senses, huge, like I was a little more used to longer stretches of time without him.
Yeah, that's true.
If that makes
we
sense.
We did go like full days, like, basically.
Yeah, there were a few full days. So there was some experience of that, I guess. But I would just be at the office and there's like nothing else I would wanted to be, or like nowhere else I wanted to be and nobody else I wanted to be with than Jordan. You know what I mean? Like, I was just like so excited that first day. I remember I like left kind of early from work because I just like wanted to get back and see him. And then it got worse the next couple of days or the next couple of weeks and whatnot, but I just like knew there was an end in sight. So it kind of gave me a little more peace than I probably would have had if I had gone back full time, you know, cause I was like, no, I would have really struggled with that. Cause I just want to be with him. And I struggle with it now. Like even like on the days that I do have some babysitters, like there are some days nowadays that I'm grateful to like have a little bit of freedom.
Yeah.
But I still like, I prefer to be with him, that I'm the one that's with him, you know?
Yeah.
So, but.
Well, he appreciates it.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah. We have a great time together, me and Jordan.
That's for sure.
We have a blast. But I guess should we rewind?
Yeah, take us back
a little bit. I really wanted to share this story, especially because I feel like my labor story was really like easy in some senses, you know? Mm-hmm. And I know some people have really traumatic and bad labor experiences or pregnancies and different things like that. And so I don't ever want it to seem like I just like flew through and was like,
yeah, like it's all been easy.
Like, yeah, rainbows and butterflies this whole time, you know?
Yeah.
And I kind of joke that I feel like everybody I've talked to, one of the major points in the pregnancy and postpartum journey is like really, really tough. And for me, it was breastfeeding. Nobody really knows what happened really in the end, I guess. It's still like a question mark of what all went
down. Meaning like no medical professional could figure out what caused this issue.
Yeah. So like I went to.
That's right.
Yeah. Basically what happened was I got a really, in some senses, like bad case of mastitis is what I would call it.
Yeah.
If you're not familiar with
mastitis on steroids.
Mastitis on steroids. Yeah.
But bad steroids. Because really, there are good ones.
Yeah.
Ask Barry Bonds.
So anyways, so I had, just one day I was just like in a lot of pain I started like having this pain, like feeling like coming on. And I remember some friends came over and they were a month ahead of us in with their baby. And she had mastitis and she was telling me like what she did for it. And so I tried to do some of those things and wasn't getting better. You know, and then there's this stress of like wondering if the baby's getting any food as well, cause he's like frustrated.
Yeah.
All that kind of stuff. And basically for whatever reason, like milk just like wouldn't come out of parts of my breast, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
And just got really stuck in there. And I had like three procedures done in the end, two ER visits. And I'd save like the details on here, but it was the most painful thing I've ever.
I think that's a good call.
If you know me personally, you want more of the details, I'll share with you.
Yeah, feel free to reach out.
It was the most painful thing I've ever experienced in my life. And I was just in like utter pain for a long time. And no doctor knew what was going on. Like literally they ran tests, they did procedures, they did all this different stuff. And like, there was no understanding of what had happened to me, basically.
Crazy.
Like a breast surgeon was like, I've never seen this before, you know, and was just flabbergasted.
Which wasn't great to hear.
No. When we went to the breast surgeon, like the specialist who like knows all these different things and ins and outs. And she like kind of preliminarily diagnosed me with something. And then we had a biopsy done and it was negative for that disease, which God bless the women that have that disease, because I can't imagine. Basically, like what I experienced, they have repetitively. So it comes back like every pregnancy, sometimes at random times in life. So I was negative, thanks be to God, for that disease. But when it came back negative, she was just like, I have no idea. I don't know what to tell you.
Sorry.
She basically was just like, we'll just see if it heals.
Better luck next time.
Yeah. So she was just like, we'll just see if it heals. And it did. But we had some like pretty crucial, I feel like, breakdown moments as a couple together during that whole process.
Mm.
You know?
Yeah. I still very vividly just remember being in the ER and just kind of sitting there and just being like, what are we doing? You know? And just, I remember, I feel like my biggest frustration with it all, this isn't the biggest, that sounds bad. One of my biggest frustrations was just like, this is our longest time away that we've had together. Like, it was like, you know, like we could have had like a date day or a date night or something like that for like as long as we needed like babysitting help for. And instead we were just like, just chilling together, watching reels in the emergency room.
Literally.
Just trying to have some semblance of fun.
Yeah.
This is our Memorial Day weekend.
It was Memorial Day weekend. I was in so much pain though. Like I've like never felt a pain like that before.
And being Memorial Day weekend made it so much worse because like all the doctors, especially everybody's gone. And then it's like, I think we went on Friday originally,
we
right?
We went on it was the a Friday, first Saturday. ER visit was a Friday. And then the second was Saturday, that next day, Saturday.
Yeah.
Was
when and it so got then worse. It's like, Friday they were like, yeah, I might have to wait till after the weekend. And then Saturday was worse, but they're like, yeah, oh, nobody's here till Tuesday. And then just
they
like
get a hold of, we can't
one
get
thing
a
after appointment another
till Thursday. So then it's just like I'm in like incredible pain. And just like it was crazy.
And I'm just like, I don't know what again, like what can I do?
Yeah. You know? It was that one night. Do you remember that where I was just like I was like switching out some of my bandages and stuff like that, and I was just in like so much pain and we just like both broke down. And I remember you brought out like the Bible and we just like read something together.
Yeah, we just prayed and
we just prayed and you just prayed over me and we were just like, please,
some holy water. Yeah, just did our best. Yeah,
because it was like that,
this is something I can do.
It was that on top of like the tiredness and the frustration of like newborn life and like all that kind of stuff. And then also not like the stress of like, is he getting enough milk? Because basically like milk was like not coming out, but then they would like do procedures to take milk out, and it's like, you know,
yeah,
you know, a newborn mom, breastfeeding mom, milk is everything, right? Liquid gold. Like you want to keep that stuff. And
yeah,
it was just, it was the worst.
That's right. Yeah. So it was a hard time. And so we got through that somehow and, just kind of like healed itself. Like it didn't, there wasn't really any solution or medicine ever really that helped.
It just healed itself.
Yeah. Well, what's interesting, I think during that time, it was kind of fun for me. We had to start giving formula, kind of supplementing with formula. Yeah. Still breastfeeding some now, but and did throughout that time, but still having to like kind of supplement with some of the formula and stuff. It was kind of cool for me because I think it is, you know, we heard, you know, a breastfeeding mom one time seeing me give Jordan a bottle and was like, wow, that's kind of cool actually for, because she was like exclusively breastfeeding. Yeah. She was like, it's kind of cool that Nathan gets to feed him. And obviously, like, I think breastfeeding has been shown to be biologically better, you know, like health wise, it's better and more helpful. But again, it's not something that you have to feel. I think it's similar to like in birth, right? Like in the delivery room, like things can go wrong. You don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
And so it's good to have that kind of like loose grip on the expectations that you have for those things. Same can be true for breastfeeding, right? Many women just are unable and incapable of doing it to no fault of their own. And so that's important to say, I think, but
which I underestimated. I feel like I thought it was just going to like be fine, you know,
easy money.
I did like a breastfeeding course and had lactation specialists, all this different stuff. And I was just like, oh, it'll be great. You know, this is like what I want to do. I've decided this, it's best for the baby, whatever.
Yep.
You know,
but he was like so early on and we didn't want to get fully used to the bottle yet that we like had this like, remember like the plastic syringes
and stuff.
Yeah. And you like kind of like injected it into his mouth. It was crazy, but just a fun thing for, I mean, it was just like, it was just like such a wild time with my mom and your mom holding him. And I'd be trying to figure out figuring out how to do it by myself. And he's trying to figure out how to like take it that way, you know? So it was just such a crazy time, but, you figure it out. And lots of doctor visits, lots of patients. But
that's why going back to work, I feel like was kind of a bummer because I felt like I had spent all of my maternity leave like at doctor's appointments.
Or, right.
Like,
yeah. That's exactly right.
Pain, basically.
Yeah.
Like I didn't get to have as much of the restful or like going out with my mom, like, you know, like doing different things like that
I expected. Get to be cute.
Like being a cute, newborn mom, going for walks around the block because I was just like crying and in pain.
Yeah.
For most of it, honestly.
Which wasn't great.
No.
So that wasn't that fun.
No. But I did go back to work for a little bit and then was able to leave working full time at the end of the summer.
Yeah.
Which is awesome.
Very exciting.
Yeah.
And so how do you feel about that? Did you have any, I mean, I guess for you, you always wanted to be a stay-at-home mom. So you never really had any like inclination to want to to work. Do you feel like now that you do work part-time, do you ever feel like you would be bored or like unfulfilled if you didn't have any type of work outlet? Or do you feel like you would still prefer to not have any work?
Personally, I don't feel like I need that to feel fulfilled. Mm-hmm. I do think that, and I had reflected on this with you, especially with just having one baby. In the last few months, there have been moments where I'm like grateful that I have work to do, like during his nap times or, you know, other times like that, that I'm like, am filling my days. Cause I am like my whole life, I've just been like a high achiever and like, like to have really full schedules and like, feel like I'm like, just like crushing to do
getting this done.
Yeah, like, you know what I mean? Like that's what I'm all about. You like how I'm moving my head. It's fun that it's on video because now you can like, I feel like it I speak is. With my whole body, you know,
yep. Italian. Now they can see your goofiness.
Oh,
there's Siri.
Anyways, so I haven't really felt like I needed that for fulfillment, if that makes sense. But in those early days, I was feeling like it was just nice to have some stuff to do during
naps
and whatnot. It's getting harder. I'm not going to lie these days just because he's like so mobile and he's sleeping a little less during the day. And work has been a little busier. The work that I'm doing now has been a little busier. So I feel like there have been some days of feeling like I'm drowning, trying to just do it all at once. But I've always wanted to be a stay-at-home mom. That's kind of like always been my dream. And there's plenty to do.
Yeah. We talked about this a while ago, but it's been some time. But what do you think about now that you're kind of in it? We talked about how like the modern day stay-at-home mom still, I think, is kind of not corrupted by, but like influenced by just like the world of comfort that we currently live in. We kind of live in a world of comfort and convenience.
Yeah.
And like back in the day when you were a stay-at-home mom, you didn't have a washing machine. There was no dishwasher.
Yeah.
There was no crock pots, right? Like there's just like a lot more things had to be done during the day. And so what do you think about that aspect of it? Like, do you think you wouldn't need work necessarily? Because I think a lot of women who need some work outlet is because they need kind of that like creative or like to engage with their mind some.
Yeah.
Because to me, like if I wasn't working it and I was just home with him all day, like that's what would drive me crazy.
Yeah.
That's what drives me crazy when there's even just like us at home for the weekend most of the time is like I just need to be able to like focus on something and to feel like I'm putting my mind to use, you know, and actually like using my brain. Because I don't really feel like I use my brain much when I'm with him. You know what I mean? Like there's things to use your brain for, of course. Like it's not like you're just brain dead. But I mean, if you spend an hour just like baby talking and, you know, making fart noises to make him laugh and, you know.
Well, that's what you do.
Silly things like that. That's true. Yeah. I'm more of a dad.
I have dad energy.
But yeah, what are your thoughts on that? Like, do you think you would fill your time with other things or what do you think helps you to not need that like professional outlet?
I have two sides of that. One, the first thought that came to mind was, this is really funny. This shows like how much I wanted to be a stay-at-home mom and a homemaker, like even before, but when I, was working my last job, I would often listen to this podcast that was about like homemaking basically. And it was just like a woman and she'd have different like women on that were kind of like influencers or whatnot, like authors that would talk about being stay-at-home moms or being homemakers. And it was just like, I would just like listen to it because it would just like bring me joy while I was in the office and things like that. And one of the things that they always talk about in that is especially when you are first transitioning into being home, this idea of really focusing on setting up your rhythms and setting up schedules almost. And like the people that struggle with it the most are the ones that are just like a free for all every day because you do still need that rhythm
like
and that
stay at home mom with four boys.
This is the next one I was going to talk about.
Stay at home mom with four boys. This is how
this
we
lady on
trick
Instagram.
Or treat.
That's how she starts every video. Yeah. I love them. But she talks about that though. Like in her, like she looks at her motherhood and she has older boys that she homeschools, which is our hopeful plan, you know, someday. Mm-hmm. But she sees like her homeschool mom like title as like an actual job, right? So she talks about how she clocks in at a certain hour and she clocks out at a certain hour at the end of the day. Like this is obviously like a much longer work day than the normal 9 to 5, of course, because you have kids, but she said that she has gotten her boys to understand that she like is mom starting at 7 a.m. or whatever, right? Like whenever they get up.
Yep.
Get up for the day. And she has arranged her day and her schedule so that she wakes up really early and she has her own time to pray, read, work out, do different things, get ready for the day in the morning before she clocks into mom at 7 o'clock, and then see it as like a job almost, mm-hmm. that you're clocking in at 7 o'clock and you're clocking out at whatever time, like bedtime, you know, the kids are at. And I think having that mentality is really beneficial, of like seeing it as a job in your mind and like a clock in, clock out thing. Obviously things happen in the middle of the night, different things will go on, and it'll only get easier as he gets older, you know.
Sure.
Then we'll have more then babies, you have another, but I guess. One. Yeah. But
we're only having one. Yeah. Yeah, we're calling
no.
it.
No, we're not. Absolutely not. But I think that's one side of it. The second side of it, I think, is just like I try to view play with him as like as educational in some senses. So there's mm-hmm. like some ways that I look at the ways that I talk, the things I talk to him about, or the things I do with him, as already almost like homeschool ideas, right? And this is very Montessori.
Yeah.
Right. Of just like I try to make every day something that we're learning. So it's almost like I am a teacher already, you know, mm-hmm. and we are teachers, like just even naturally, right? That we're like, you know, the domestic church, and we're supposed to be teaching all these things to our kids. But I think what really brings me life in it all is, and I was praying about this morning, of just this great privilege as a mom that I have to see his little developments. Mm-hmm. There's so many little things that he learns and he does every day that I see, and I'm like the only one that can really like notice them, and I draw other people's attention to them, you know. Mm-hmm. But like I know that he did this little thing for the first time today, because I'm with him every day, and I've like seen like that way he grabbed the toy was different, you know. And yeah. to me that's like invigorating and exciting to just yeah. like see his development and how he's growing and how he's like learning. Like that's just like so exciting to me, you know. And yeah. so I think that's why, like when you say like when you're playing with him and you just like make the fart noises or like baby talk or play with the baby's toys or whatnot, like I tried to like see all those moments with him as like moments of education, you know. Mm-hmm. If that makes sense. And so that like to me feels more of like a job and like a the privilege and the responsibility, you know.
Yeah.
of the day-to-day work. And so yeah, the two sides, finding those rhythms and like trying to like figure out, like, you know, there's other things to do around the house. I have my work, you know, to do as well for my job and different things. So trying to find that schedule and get into that rhythm with him, and then seeing him as like a student, you know.
Yeah.
In some senses.
Yeah. I think, you know, going back to the homeschool mama, four boys, this is how we
she's the best.
Decorate the closet, you know, or whatever she's doing.
She does the most random things, and she always
they are good. I mean, she's very definitely something to strive
pretty
for.
Pretty intense.
I think you have, in her example, a mother of four, hence the mother of four boys. Homeschool mama, four boys. And I think that when you only have one, I think you do kind of have that, like you said, like it gets busier over time, but I think it can be, you almost have to have a greater like self-accountability, especially if you were like full-time stay-at-home. Yeah. But I think even a stay-at-home, like homeschool mom, even her, right? Yeah. There's a lot of homeschool parents that do it very, very poorly.
Yeah.
And half-ass it and just don't really care about it. And I think that's a temptation to have, because there is what I think is really great about her videos and her motivation and her example to other people is that it's very entrepreneurial.
Yeah.
Right. And love has to essentially be your accountability, because right. if you don't have a board of directors, you don't have anybody to report to. And that's kind of how it feels like in the early stages, especially if you're like doing a side hustle like this, like Seeking Excellence for me.
Yeah.
The Airbnb, right? Like when we were getting kind of those things started, where I didn't have to like answer to anybody on it.
Yeah.
You know, I wasn't doing like some big project. I didn't take out a business loan or anything like that for those things. And it's like, you can kind of half-ass or just like postpone or procrastinate as much as you want. And I think the same thing can go with like, you can be a really bad and lazy parent, whether you have time with your kids or not. Right. And it's easy to just kind of be like, oh, you know, we're just not going to do this today, or I'm just going to wait till tomorrow, or you're just going to be lazy as possible and just kind of like not be disciplined like that. Because right. you can very easily not treat it like a job and just kind of look at it as like, oh, I just get to just hang around all day.
Yeah.
You know, and just kind of lounge and slack off.
it's like she's professional about it, right? And she talks about that. Like she talks about how she sets up her day so that she's like dressed and feeling, you know, put together for the day and everything's like that.
Exercising in the morning.
Yeah, exercising in the morning. Well. She has that. So she's like has the energy and the drive for her kids and to be able to like show up for them and everything. So seeing those things as self-care, but also care for them, you know, and love of them so that it's like, you know.
Yeah.
And we have our days. And I'm sure she has her days. Like, sure. We have our days and where things go like that. And we have our days where they don't. Like,
yeah, absolutely.
Know. Today I felt like it was my most mom of homeschool, you know, the homeschool mom of four boys day. Cause I like did wake up at 5 a.m. this morning.
You did.
Baby woke up at 5 a.m.
Not your own will.
No, I didn't mean to. He woke up, but I made the most of it. And I did actually stay up this time. Sometimes I'll go back to sleep and then I sleep like way late because of that. Right, Nate?
I've witnessed it. Yeah. Once or twice.
This morning though, I didn't do that. And like, think of that. Like, by the time he finally got up again, cause I did get him back down for bed. I had cleared all my work emails. I had prayed, read, took a shower, laundry in, all that kind of stuff.
What a day.
Crushing it. And I felt so good today, you know? Yep. And so, yeah, just trying to create more days like that.
Make those hard decisions that you have to make in order to experience that.
Yeah.
Right? Because it just is no easy way to come about that. And I think that's something that both of us constantly see in our lives is that when we wake up earlier, we're happier throughout the day.
Yeah.
But yeah, it is interesting. And I think having the drive to do things well is something that is just kind of rare in today's world, right? I remember recently, I told you about this a little bit, but one of my favorite scripture Old Testament figures is Joseph. So Joseph in the multicolored dream coat. I forget what Joseph in the dream, or what's the
Technicolor?
No, there's like the we were just talking about this the other day. Like there's the Prince of Egypt. There's another one with Joseph, but I forget what it's called.
Like movie?
Yeah.
Technicolor dream coat?
No, maybe. I didn't think that's what it was called.
I think it is because I saw like the, I saw like the musical. It's animated. Of it. Yeah.
Okay.
The Technicolor dream coat.
I don't think that's what it's called, but we'll look it up.
Fact check us.
I'll take
guys.
Your word for it. Yeah, this is why we need your phone closer by.
Oh, but my phone?
Okay. You live and you learn. But we were basically talking about his story in scripture. If you don't know, quick rundown of Joseph. He's, you know, Jacob, whose name gets changed into Israel. He's the son of Isaac. His grandfather's Abraham. He has 12 sons, two different wives. He's got Leah and Rachel. Technically, he had more wives than that, but he's got 12 sons. Rachel is his favorite wife. Her oldest son is Joseph. Joseph is his favorite kid. Joseph's the goat, right? Which I relate to. And Joseph is really amazing because his brothers hate him. He gets sold into slavery. He's like, this is going to be the best, you know, slavery situation imaginable. And so he just like crushes it there. He crushes it as a slave. And then he gets framed by Potiphar, his master's wife. She accuses him of trying to come on to her. The opposite happened. Anyways, he gets thrown in the prison. He's like, this is going to be the best run prison in the world. And so then he literally like is crushing it and gets put in charge of like the entire prison, just like he had been put in charge of all of the slaves. While he's in prison, he starts interpreting dreams or whatever. Eventually, he gets to meet Pharaoh, and because Pharaoh's having dreams that he can't interpret, so he interprets dreams for Pharaoh. Then Pharaoh's like, I'm going to put you in charge of a couple things out here. We're going to get you out of jail. And he's like, I'm going to crush this. And so basically, like, I was coming to this conclusion, understanding that, like, Joseph is, like, the Old Testament patron of excellence, right? Because it was, like, every situation that he was put into, he thrived and he crushed it and he did the best that he could and just, you know, gave it his all. And I think that you have a situation like this, and I've even experienced this in my own life of like, I mean, I was in college, and then it's like, you crush it in college. It's like, can you crush it out in the real world? Mm-hmm. So then I tried to crush it in the army, and then you get out of the army out of a lot more structure, and it's like, okay, now you're out like really in the real world. Like, can you continue to try to be great, right? In all the different seven pillars. And so it's constantly a journey of that, and you get new things, you get thrown into new jobs, new situations, and it's like, can you take this Joseph mindset? And this is what I think is really at the heart of this. Not everybody has that, but I think it requires you to have this mindset of, I'm going to take the same mindset, the same killer instinct. And I think athletes and soldiers, when they transition out of those things, can go in one of two directions. They either take this mindset and say, I'm going to apply the same work ethic I applied to basketball, football, soccer, whatever, to my life and to other areas, or they just say, well, that part of me is dead now, you know, and I'm not going to have that anymore. You see this in professional athletes too. Like, I think, you know, Kevin Hart's not an athlete. That's a bad first example. But I think of Kevin Hart taking his grinding for comedy, and then he applies it to business. And, you know, to, I think to an extent, applies it to his family life and tries to. I don't think he's, you know, the world's best father and husband, but I think he does take it seriously. And you can think of the same thing. The Rock's a good example of that. Tom Brady, of just like when you transition out of things, a lot of people don't transition well. Yeah. They end up alcoholics or just like apathetic or don't care.
Or when it's your responsibility to create that structure, I think is like.
Yes. That's when it's the hardest.
That's when it's the hardest. Yeah.
Yep. Mm-hmm. When it's just kind of all on you. Yeah. The rise and fall of it really relies on, it depends on you. And you can still have accountability with it, right? Which is something that you and I strive to have. And I try to have in whatever way I can with Seeking Excellence, whether that be with you or with friends or even just like telling the audience sometimes of like, this is what I'm going to do. You know, like you have to have some type of accountability. And that's good friends can be helpful too.
Yeah.
You know, having good friends that are crushing being stay-at-home moms or part-time stay-at-home moms or whatever.
Yeah.
Like those are the people you have to really lean on and not, I feel like we get such, it's such bullshit so much with, I think like motherhood stuff of like every mom, you're just doing your best and whatever you're doing is great. Like that's just not true.
Yeah.
You know, like some people aren't crushing it and you have to discern for yourself. Like women, I think can overthink and be like too harsh and critical on themselves. Right. But now I think we're like swinging in the pendulum into the other direction where it's just like, do whatever you want and feel great about yourself.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's not limited to motherhood, right? You see this with like the anti-fat shaming and all kinds of other things where it's like, no matter what, this is a self-esteem generation. We're now adults.
Right.
And so it's just like, no matter what you do, feel amazing.
Yeah.
Because you should not feel bad ever for any reason because you're perfect.
Well, I will give the caveat that in similar to those podcasts caveat that I used to listen of, it might take a while to like create those rhythms and stuff like that. Right. And like, but being intentional about it now is only going to make it easier when there are more kids and there is more to do and there is like homeschooling to do on top of it all, you know, and stuff. And so trying to create that rhythm at this point, it's a big deal for sure. But yeah, I just try to see it as like something that I can do really well and that I need to like set the structure for. And it's taken a while to like get in and I'm still not totally there yet, but it's been getting a lot better, you know?
Yeah. And I think, as I said, love has to be your accountability sometimes. And I think asking yourself, who do you do this for? Mm. Right? Do you do this? And some days you might do it for Jordan. Some days you might do it for God. Some days you might do it to make me happy. You know, like there can be different things and different motivators. Some days you do it for you just to feel proud of yourself and know that you're giving it your all. Right? There can be different reasons, different motivations for different things, I think. But tell me about, let's talk about being a mother and a father just in our last few minutes here.
Okay.
Yeah. What is it like to talk to somebody who hasn't had kids before? Maybe, you know, this is your typical kind of spiel of like talking to some others. If you're watching us, you can see she's got really excited. So
I like to say that I've convinced a few women to have babies.
Why is it worth it?
Why is it worth it? Which is true. I've had a few awesome conversations.
This is very accurate.
That people at the end of the conversation have told me that they've like changed their mind on this. This is great. Yeah, I think the biggest thing and is like I was going to physical therapy after, I often share this story. I was going to physical therapy after I had Jordan just to kind of you know, rebuild strength and everything from the stress of pregnancy and delivery. And I was in the, you know, one of my sessions with my physical therapist and she had seen a lot of new moms and she told me that I was like a breath of fresh air because I was one of the first clients she's had that told her to have a baby basically.
Yeah.
And like that there were some women that were literally coming to her fresh after having their, you know, maybe first child or multiples or whatnot. And they were like, they would literally tell her not to have kids.
Yep.
Which to me was just like so horrifying to think that you're just
actually tragic.
Like, I understand parents are going through it at the beginning. Like we shared that like of our experience of like you're like going through it and stuff. But she was about to get married. She got married like the week after I stopped physical therapy. Like she was literally just about to get married. And you could tell she was just like relieved to find somebody who said that it was like awesome and that it was worth it, you know?
Yeah.
And she just, it was just, it was really sad for me to hear that that was her experience with so many clients, was people just saying that, oh, you shouldn't do it, whatnot. And of course, that's probably the secular world really, you know, eating at people. But yeah, to me, I love motherhood. I love I just think it's like so amazing how able I am to like pour everything out, if that makes sense. You know? Mm-hmm. Because I have chosen this path and it is something that I like, I just want and I love and I try to be excellent at every single day. It's just like, I have this like incredible energy each day, you know what I mean? To like get through each day. Like if I was running on how little sleep I get nowadays, like, you know, in college or whatever, I would have been just an absolute zombie.
Yeah.
Like, I was waking up at 4 a.m. every single night.
I am dead inside.
Yeah. Literally, like, I.
Just every day.
So to me, it's just like such a beauty and like such a like a mystery of like how I'm able to do that and how so many moms are able to do that. And I think that just like shows the great responsibility that comes with it. And then the grace that comes from God and from the vocation of motherhood and marriage and everything like that. But I often say my favorite thing is that this like great privilege I have of seeing him become like a human, I guess, in some sense, you know, like he is human, but just like learning like these true, little, he is human, but I'm saying just like learning like those my little things that are just so, you know, second nature to all of us, but
yeah,
you don't think of that of like, yeah, some of those things, like how he picks up little things or how he expresses himself or how he stands up. Like yesterday, he stood up in the crib for the first time.
Yeah, it was like wild.
So exciting, kind of frightening because you're like, oh, is he going to do that all the time now?
Right.
Like, is he going to be like,
constantly? We got to lock this mug in here, you know what yeah. I mean? Put a roof on this thing.
But he stood up for the first time yesterday on his own. And it was just like, it's just this like, I just see it as this great privilege that I have that I'm able to be so aware of those things and I just to be his, like, we joke that this was like what I used to say was what I was looking forward to most in motherhood, and what has been hard sometimes is that like I am the one he wants, you know, like,
yeah,
like when things go bad or sometimes in the middle of the night when I just like need some help and Nathan tries to go in, like if Jordan will see Nathan sometimes he like screams louder because he like wants, he just wants to like
go back.
Nurse, or he wants to be with me or something like
not
that.
Not you. Yeah. They sent the wrong one.
And it's like a blessing and a curse in some senses, yeah. Right? Of like it's a bummer sometimes when I'm like, okay, nobody else can like do this but me, but it's also just like such a gift to be somebody's like whole world, you know.
To be his guy.
Yeah. And I think that was what I was praying about this morning, was it just like really showed me just the love of the Father. And you know, my Advent devotional that I'm doing right now is a lot about the Good Shepherd and that line of like the sheep know, or mine know me, or what is that line in scripture?
My sheep know me, they hear my voice and they follow me.
Yeah, but there's
something
like that. Something, I don't know, but like I know my sheep basically, if that makes sense. And like they know me. I can't think of the translation that I had this morning, but
that was a beautiful recollection.
It was really bad. I'm kidding. Anyways, I can't think of what it was, but anyways, the just like how beautiful it is to just be like, I like know Jordan so like well, you know,
if that makes
sense. Like, and I have this like special privilege that I am given to know him, if that makes sense. And I love it. It's the best.
What are you most looking forward to in ensuing years of motherhood?
I think kind of in talking about how much I like love the teaching aspect of motherhood, I'm excited for that to get more in depth of like actually being able to like communicate with him. You know, like he doesn't totally understand things that I say to him right now. Like he's starting to understand words and like put things together. But I think just like explaining little things about life to him are going to be so, so fun, you know, and just kind of seeing the different things that he does. Cause right now it's just like, I oftentimes like just dream about his life while I'm nursing him or, you know, try to put him to sleep or different things. And I'm like really in that like kind of intimacy with him in a sense. And, just to see how it all plays out. I think that's what I'm most excited about. And then just like, I like, it's kind of funny that I spend almost every minute with him and I like have never had a conversation with him, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like I'm excited to just be able to like communicate with him more and have him ask me questions and different things like that.
That will be awesome.
Yeah.
In late October of last year, there was a brief 10 minutes where you mourned not having a girl. How do you feel about being a boy mom 8 months in?
Oh man, this is funny that it's on video because I'm like much more teary today. I feel like just thinking about him. Anyways, I love being a boy mom. I like have such boy mom energy though in real life. Yes. I could have gone either way. I probably would have owned whatever, like, I would have owned whatever came my way.
You would have embraced the identity.
Yeah, I would have embraced it completely. But I just love little boys. Little boys are the best. They're just like so sweet and just like love their mom. And that's what everybody told me going into it, that they're just gonna like love their mom. I'm really not crying. My eyes are just watering right now. But I love being a boy mom. It's just like,
you want to see Emily cry? Check in. Tune into YouTube. Subscribe to our YouTube channel. This will probably happen on every podcast from here on out because you guys could actually see her now.
Yeah, my eyes water a lot while I'm like discussing things.
Telling
like,
stories.
When I'm telling stories specifically.
It's the weirdest thing.
It's like it a phenomenon accurate. That I don't know. I don't know where it came from. But anyways.
She's just sobbing on camera.
I love being a boy mom. So- Oh gosh,
that's amazing.
Yeah, I really do. I think I had this memory of in college, somebody asked me like, what breaks your heart the most, like think about, like not necessarily like something like deeply spiritual, but just like maybe even something like surface level that breaks your heart.
And yeah,
the first thing that came to mind was like a lonely little boy. Like I remember like saying that in college in like a Bible study, and like stuck with me. So maybe I'm just like meant to be a boy mom and try to
wow
keep my boys from being lonely.
Yeah, I think that's beautiful. Yeah, boys are superior. I think I'm going to just come out and say it. Maybe the hottest take I've ever shared on a CKX's podcast. Boys are just better. You know, there's I was really thinking about this yesterday because I went to Mass and the two readings, it was a daily Mass. And the first reading was the conception of Samson. Mm. You know, talking to Samson's mother. I can't remember what her name was. I know Samuel's was Hannah. And Deacon basically in his homily brought up like, when were the other times like where barren women basically had kids? Isn't it? I think in the gospel was about St. John the Baptist, you know? And I'm just saying that when these women back in the day were barren, they prayed to have a boy. I understand culture was different.
Culture is different.
But still.
I'm still looking forward to having a girl someday.
They prayed to have. So am I. I even recently got like re-excited to have a girl someday. I think it was actually on Hope's feast day. Or I say feast day.
Hope's feast day in our sense. Yeah.
Yeah. Hope's due date. It is a feast day.
Hope is us. Our baby that we miscarried.
Correct.
And her.
We say think her, that it's a girl.
Yeah.
We don't know for sure.
We both just like really feel in prayer and different things that it was a girl. But
and that got me more excited and thinking about that and thinking about like had we had her, I'd have been obviously very excited. But we have our firstborn son. And if that's not cause of celebration, I don't know what is. And so yeah, I think it's just very exciting. I think it's fun to have him. And I'm excited for our next boy and then after that to hopefully have a girl.
Yeah.
Two or three kids from now.
We will see about that.
Yeah.
This is not a pregnancy announcement.
This is not a pregnancy announcement. Thanks be to God. This is not a pregnancy announcement. Hopefully we'll have one in 2024, but we'll see how it goes.
That's the plan.
We'll see how it goes. Well, great. Yeah, I think it's very exciting. I think you're doing great work.
Do you want to talk about fatherhood real quick?
Oh, sure. Absolutely. What would you like to know about it?
Just same questions. Like what are you most looking forward to and any reflections?
I struggled not to get too far ahead with what I'm looking forward to, but I am really looking forward to seeing what he's like when he's like 16 and 22 and 30, you know,
try not to get too far ahead, but 16.
Yeah. But like 30 years from now, what's he going to be like, you know? But actually I think I really do look forward to what he's going to be like as a man. Yeah. And just, and I think my looking forward to the outcome has me very excited about the process because there's a lot of stages and big moments we're going to have from now until then that I get to really influence. I already feel like I see it now. I think I see it earlier. I've been shocked at, even though you are the person that he wants the most, how attached he still is to me.
He loves you.
Yeah. How much he still gets at this so stage. Cool. Yeah. Gets really excited. Plays with me differently. I think that's part of it.
Yeah.
You know, and that's where I think, even though I make dumb noises and things like that, like my playtime with him is intentionally different. Like I do try to do more dangerous things, tossing him up in the air and just really letting him know in the way that we kind of are starting to like roughhouse and things like that like dad is, I'm going to do more dangerous things with him and he will hurt me sometimes. But like at the end of the day, it's gonna all be good.
Yeah.
You know, and I'll always protect him from other things.
Yeah.
You know, but I'm gonna rough him up here and there. And so I think I'm really excited for that, just to have more of those moments. More and more you get to see how he's starting to mimic us. We had a really cute moment the other day where I was patting Emily on the shoulder, like patting her back, basically like fake consoling her, being sarcastic with empathy, which is always healthy. And then Jordan was mimicking that, which is even better, right? So Jordan basically like would pat her on the back after I did, which was really funny. But I think having more moments like that where you get to see the little quirks and things in us that we do that he'll start to do. And
I feel like that was the first moment that he's really mimicked one of us. And it's like cool that it was you, that he like realized that he like wanted to mimic you.
And think about how beautiful it was, and it was how I treat you.
It was like, yeah, towards me.
You know? And so I think things like that are really cool. It is. There's a lot there. So yeah, I think that's what for me is really great. And I think that I've just been able to see how rewarding it is in the little moments that I have, getting to make him laugh, coming home and seeing the two of you and him being happy, you being happy, is like my favorite part of my day. And I tell everybody that that's just like the best thing in the world. And there's nothing that I've ever done. I've done some cool stuff that would replace that, you know, that could ever like replace that in my life. And so that's why I think that it's worth it. And I think that the struggles and suffering that comes from it is very much worthwhile. Because it also just really refines you. I think that parenthood, similar, I've said this in other ways, but parenthood, similar to money and I think old age, bring out more of who you are.
Mm.
You know, it does change you in some ways, but mostly it just amplifies who you are because you are such a bigger, you play such a bigger role in this person's life.
Yeah.
Right. And so like, it's just so magnified because like to Seeking Excellence listeners, I'm one of a million, one of a billion people, right? One of 7 billion people in the world, maybe a little bit closer, right? I'm a little bit more influential in their lives. Friends, you're like one of, you know, 100 friends that they have or whatever, but like I'm one of 2 for him and I'm one of 1 in that I'm his father, you know? And so you're just kind of like this huge, huge role that's very influential and I think carries a lot of weight, but has a lot of, beautiful kind of like special authority and influence that allows me to exercise, I think, some of my gifts and strengths and will allow me to do that in ways that I won't get to in other ways of my life.
Yeah.
And I think that's really, really fun to know that I get to do that. I've done a lot of studying and research on the important role of fathers. And so to get to play it for somebody is pretty cool. And he's the coolest kid in the world. So
amen.
To get to play it for him is pretty awesome.
So great.
Yeah. So it's fun. Yeah, and I love being a boy dad, to answer the other question. Yeah. I don't know if I made that clear or not, but...
Notice how I didn't ask that question.
Excited to be a girl dad someday, still glad that I get to be a boy dad. Very much excited to do more father and son things over time.
Super fun.
It is.
Yeah.
Well, awesome. Well, we have some future episodes we're going to record. We're going to talk some. We did Strength Finders this past year, which is something we've wanted to talk about for a long time. There's some books that we've read together that we want to go over. So we're going to be getting into some other types of content. So we're going to, now that we're kind of caught up in our lives, we can venture out into more topics and things like that. We are going to be doing more like reaction videos. I figured out some cool stuff. I'm working on the tech here. We're trying to get to a better spot.
He's crushing it.
Thank you. I appreciate that. First video episode, so we're going to be doing more like reactions, stuff like that, getting to watch things and all of that's going to be super fun. So we'll be getting into some other things there, but very excited for what this year has to hold. 2024 is going to be a big year for Seeking Excellence. I know podcast wise, it looks like and feels like sometimes a step back because we're dropping down to 1 episode per week, but there's a lot of other things, fun stuff happening. I had a really fun conversation. I have to actually fill you in on this, a little collaboration conversation I had today with someone.
Ooh.
That we might be announcing something exciting coming in 2025 or even 2026. That's how big it is we're planning several years out for it. So very exciting. Thank you for listening today. Anything else you want to share with the people?
I don't think so. If you're on the fence about having a baby, it's really, really hard, but it's so rewarding.
Have that child.
Definitely have a baby. And yeah, if you aren't there yet, start praying and start preparing your heart for those things. Because like Nathan said, who you are is only amplified even more. And so working on like growing in virtue is what's really important in this time before that.
Absolutely. Yeah. I love it. Thanks be to God. All right. God bless you. Be your best. We'll see you next time.